ghosticles time.
Oh, you're so low key. You're like, we're going to just, the lights are going to be turned down low.
That's right.
And it's going to be.
It's ghosticles time.
We're going to like just, was it, Singspiel? Instead of actually singing it, you just kind of talk it.
Oh, right.
It's ghosticles time.
It's ghosticles time.
It's ghosty, woasty, hosty, toasty, ghosticles time. And.
And.
It has.
Doesn't have anything to do with testicles.
Well.
This time.
Maybe for you.
Mostly. How you doing on this Friday?
Oh, Lord, give me patience. This week. This week can get fucked. Our dog is sick. He's not critically ill or anything, but he's got a cold. And when little Frenchies, when any dog has a cold, but specifically Frenchies, like they cough like,
yeah,
and it's hard to sleep when that noise is going all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, and some nights, you know, we have a great vet. Jamie and I have the same vet. And she's great. And she was like, oh, he's so sweet, but he'll be fine. He's just going to have to ride it out. But here's some cough suppressants that sometimes work.
Sometimes they work.
So I haven't slept a great deal because even when he's not coughing, I'm worried that he's about to start. So I just lay awake waiting for the shoe to drop. But it's funny. You know how I know he's fine is, one, we check his gums to make sure that they're nice and pink so he's getting plenty of air. He's just got a little snuffles. But if he hears a bag rattle, he comes running because he knows it's food or thinks it's food. And if Brandon, who loves eating Asian pears, if Gus hears him take a bite of one of those, he comes to life like Frosty the fucking Snowman with the magic top hat on. It's hilarious. I have never seen a dog react that way to a piece of produce.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't think he gets as excited about his own food, and he loves his food. I mean, he's an eater. Gus is just a fucking hoover, but, like, when that Asian pear, it must be some kind of opiate for him, because he's like, and he'll just watch Brandon like a hawk. So that's how
just
we test
like
to make
trigger.
Sure our dog is doing okay. We eat a lot of pears and see
All
how
right.
he
well,
reacts.
That's good.
And so far, so good. How has your week been, my dear?
Well, my birthday was yesterday, so.
Happy birthday. Everyone, I sent her an early happy birthday because I was like,
he did.
Belateds are so 2019.
That's true, he did. it was good. So it's a quarantine birthday, which you've had as well. So there's
you don't
go do a lot. However, it's kind of nice. It just takes all the pressure off.
I know. It's
right?
kind of nice. It's like, wow.
It was easy. It was like, oh, I'm not going to do anything. Okay, cool. Let me not do anything. And I got lots of love on my birthday just from social media and texts and stuff like that. I really appreciated that. And then this is how, you know, you're getting older. I have now really great insurance with Jack, which is fantastic.
Oh. It's a
so
it's
I
a,
went
it's
to
a
see
game
a
changer, isn't it?
Yesterday,
you saw a specialist.
I saw a specialist.
Congratulations!
Yeah. Thank you. I was real excited about it.
The next milestone for you is to have a procedure.
Right, and I think I know what it's going to be, and I'm not looking forward to it.
But I'm sure you're looking forward to the results, or at least
I think what we're going to do is for my tummy. I think they're going to do a camera scope.
Those are fun. You'll get to see the insides of yourself.
Which is fine, except I believe insurance doesn't usually cover the anesthesia
or having
a scope down your throat because it's not necessary.
So, I guess it depends on your insurance.
What are you talking about? And he's like, oh, yeah, some people can just swallow the camera and be fine, and then they just pull it out. Like, I would die. I would have a panic attack and die immediately if somebody put a tube and I just hacked it back up. Like, I'm not a fucking cat. I can't do that. I'm not doing that. I need the anesthesia. So he was like, yeah, the insurance usually won't pay for it unless you have, like, asthma or something. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God, I have asthma. Like, I've never been so happy to have asthma. And so sometimes if you, Like, if you have asthma and you're in a panicky situation, the asthma will trigger, and then
and so the
if
insurance
you have a camera
will cover
down,
it. Oh, that's
like,
good.
Then they might be like, okay, well, maybe we need to cover that. So
I guess we'll do what we're paying
for. I might get it covered. If not, I'm paying for that shit because I'm not going to have a camera pulled out from my guts. via my throat. No, thank you.
I've had the thing put up my sinuses and down my throat to see my vocal cords once upon a time, and that was the worst part for me. Was just the flavor of what they use to kind of to not anesthetize, but I guess to sort of, you know, deaden the flesh that it goes through, so it's not as painful. It tastes fucking awful. That alone, I'm like, I would almost rather deal with the pain of having something shoved up my nose and down my throat than this taste. I mean, it tastes like I'm eating a burning spork. And don't ask me how I know what that tastes like, but I do.
And it's weird too in situations like that because it's a small amount of time, grand scheme, but in the moment, it's taking 47,000 times as long.
Yeah.
To get through the moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's why it's like, I can't.
Can't do it. Can't do it. No, I'm a baby. I'm a total baby.
But that's the next thing that I have to do, I think.
This is my anxiety when I'm at the doctor's office, just getting, you know, my yearly checkup. I had to take blood last time. You know, they always do. And for some reason, like, this little old nurse who was probably, you know, taking blood from hundreds of thousands of people in her career is having a devil of a time just extracting my blood. She finds the vein immediately, so it's none of that bullshit that normally you have to deal with. It's like, oh, she's in there and she's going blood, but my blood was so thick. She's like, what the hell? Like, she said, what the hell? And I was like, what's happening? Am I dying? What's going on? Am I a mutant? What is that? She's like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just weird that your blood's that thick. I've never seen blood this thick. And I'm looking at it, and she's this little gray-haired, shriveled nurse. And I'm like, you've never seen blood that thick.
Well, here's
what does
panic
it mean?
Attack.
Right? Like, awesome. Give me a second. It's about to come out a lot easier because my heart's a-pumping. But, oh, my God. All right.
Getting your blood taken, I struggle with that because I do not have good veins. They are on the opposite side of my arm. And the first time that I had my blood taken, I was 12 or 13 or something like that. And they used a regular needle. And so that kind of suctions it out fast to make it quicker. But my little baby vein was not prepared. And I don't know if you've ever had your vein collapse, but I don't recommend it.
Okay.
And that happened to me on both of my arms. And then the last time, my dad was like, if you don't do it right, I'm going to do it. He knew how. He wasn't an expert or anything, but he was like, this guy's awful. And so I've always struggled with having to be pricked multiple times to get any blood. And I can't watch it because I don't love this about myself. But if I see blood, I have a tendency to just pass the fuck out. And so
that's a pretty good indication that you aren't a psychopath, at least.
That's true. And so then now, like, if you go into like places like Quest, where all they do is like take blood 400 times a day, it's much easier. But I have been at the, you know, I always am trying to hydrate, make sure I'm hydrated a week ahead of time so that, you know, it's gonna go, but still, even then, I went in once and they got the vein, but my blood was like, no, I don't want it.
And another sign that you're getting older.
It didn't matter how hydrated I was. It was just not coming out. There was nothing I could do about it.
Another sign that we're getting older, Jamie, is that after talking about your birthday inevitably led us to discussing medical issues.
That's right. We're not going to start talking about poop, you guys, I promise.
Nah, give it a few years. We will.
That's true. You want to start?
Yeah, let's start. We've got some funeral stories. I love it.
Yes.
The first submission comes from Amanda. Yay, Amanda, we love you. Just for funsies, hi, Jamie and Michael. Hi. I hope your month of Halloween is off to a spooktacular start. Well, it's spooktacular. There's a lot of spooky shit going on in the world right now.
It's weird. That's for damn sure.
I guess, yeah. You asked for funeral stories a few weeks ago, so here's mine. Excellent. I can't wait. All right. So for those of you that don't know, I think I mentioned it before, but I always cold read these. Jamie sends them to me, and I've not read them before. I do it here, so it's good practice, and it's also fun to hear my reaction to what I'm reading as I'm reading it, because I think it's hilarious. I'll start by saying funerals are awkward for me. I don't think you're alone in that, Amanda. I have very I have very long, very bright pink hair. So while my face says, I am so sorry for your loss, my hair says, all right, let's put the fun in funeral. So yeah, awkward. Anyway, I honestly don't remember whose funeral I was at. It was for a relative that neither I or my husband were particularly close to. As we entered the church, I saw several family members we knew and a few that we'd met, but only a handful of times. As we continue on our way, I see a little old man that I recognize as Uncle Truman. We had only met once before, and it had been a while back, but when he saw me, his eyes lit up, and he pointed a shaky finger at me and said, "Hey, I know you." I responded with, "It's good to see you again, Uncle Truman." He looked straight at my face and said, "I died yesterday, and you were there." Another relative came and got him after that. And I didn't know how to respond other than to just laugh. It was an uncomfortable laughter because funeral, but what are you going to do? I have no idea if he was suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia or just a prankster, or if he had had a traumatic event the day before. But one thing is for sure, I'm hard to miss. When people say that they saw me, they usually are right. Thanks, all. That's all for now. Thank you for all the fun and spooky content. I love you guys and wish you all the best. I do, too. This makes me... Thank you very much for that story. It reminds me of a funeral I went to, again, for some distant relative that I didn't remember or hadn't met, or if I did, I didn't remember meeting them or whatever, and I go, and I thought the person I was going to see in the open casket was one person. That's who I was picturing because of they said, "Oh, your uncle so, your great uncle so and so died." I'm like, "Oh, great uncle so and so, that guy, okay." And we walked in. Well, that guy was actually alive and was there in the funeral parlor waiting, greeting people. And so my first experience of this particular funeral was thinking the dead guy was greeting all of us as we walked in. And I was 7, so I didn't really understand. I thought, "Wow, those morticians did a great job."
You don't need to get a second opinion.
Like, maybe, I feel like, is this rehearsal? What's going on? Second entry comes from Darcy. And I'm reading these two back to back because they're Jamie's. She lets me read the funeral stories. At least today. Hey, guys.
Today.
Thank you.
Today. Right,
today. Just letting me have fun because I've had a rough week. Thank you so much. Darcy says, "Hey, guys." Hey, Darcy, thank you for reading my hamster story. It made both my day and my husband's day. So you ask about weird or off-the-wall funeral stories. Here's mine. So when I was about 5 or 6, my biological grandma passed away. She was a bit old-fashioned, so she had a wake at her house. I was young and wasn't really that connected to my grandma, Fran, so I was bored most of the time. That is, until I saw the play set outside in the back yard. Mind you, I was in
a
little...
I think that's play set.
Oh, that... I was like, what play were they doing?
What play? Play
they were set. Doing play. Thank you. Let me try that again, yeah. Jamie. That is until I saw the play set outside in the backyard. Now it just kind of ruins the story for me. I want it to be like they're doing, like, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? It was Fram's favorite. So I saw the playset outside in the backyard. Mind you, I was in a little dress and shiny black shoes and was in no way dressed for an outdoor excursion. I asked my mom if I could go play on the playset, and she refused me. Being the little shit I was back then, I said, "Fuck that," and promptly marched my 4-foot-nothing ass to the playset. I had never crossed monkey bars before this point in my life, but that didn't stop me. I climbed up the ladder and grabbed a hold of the first bar. No problem. I reached my tiny little arm to the second bar, missed, and promptly fell down. Now, in any other circumstances, I would have fallen down, brushed myself off, and tried again. Oh, no, not this time. I fell and tried to brace myself on my one arm. My mother rushed out to see me holding my arm and screaming bloody murder. She packed me into the car and rushed me to the children's, children's hospital, I guess, where, I found out that I'd broken my arm in 2 places. They had to reset the bone with no anesthesia because it had already started to heal. My stepdad, oh fucking Jesus, snap.
Yikes.
What was it? Was it a Civil War hospital? Goddamn. My hair, like, they just hand this child.
No Advil? No,
like,
nothing?
They just hand this child a whiskey and start, like, just sawing the arm off. God, like, here, his doctor smoking a cigar with his butcher apron on. It's, sorry, I have a very particular imagination. My stepdad told me he never forgot that scream. Oh, God. Now I can bend my arm in a funny position, and I'm right-hand dominant from compensation. Hope y'all are doing well and staying sane. Much love from Pittsburgh, Darcy and Mark. Thank you, Darcy.
Oh, my gosh. Thank God. You. Yeah.
I mean, the moral of the story is, you know, unless you're glad the person is dead, don't go play.
Yeah.
During
right.
a funeral.
Well,
I mean,
it's always monkey bars, isn't it? When kids fall, it's always that they're on the monkey bars. And that's when they fall and break their arm.
Yep. It's true. It's true. I've done it. I broke my wrist. A very slight fractured wrist. They didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to be putting a cast for it. They just gave me a brace. But
yeah,
that's...
I'm going to knock on my head and say I've never broken any bones. yeah, so.
Good on you. Good on you.
I mean, it's been good. It's been good. But when I was a kid, I fell all the time. I think I was just, I was squishy. So
you were just
I could
so
bounce right back.
You were just so short. That there
true.
Wasn't very, wherever it was, you fell down from a standing position, it wasn't far enough to do any damage.
It wasn't that far. Yeah. I used to do the thing too on the, not the monkey bars, but the single bars where you'd wrap your leg around it and just flip, 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 or wrap both your legs around it and flip, flip, flip. I used to do that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if I watched a child do it, I would be like, oh my God, I'm going to, it's so dangerous. Stop doing that.
I can't, right?
I had no problem. So. Yeah.
I get panicky when our French bulldog's on the back of the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I get panicky over here because of that. Hey, it's commercial time.
It's kind of
commercial time. It's commercial time.
Commercial.
Join our Patreon. Be a patron.
Be a patron.
We
support
appreciate
us.
All the support we get.
We really do.
But if you could help us and join our Patreon, you get an extra couple of chats with us on the Discord. You get to be a member of the Discord.
Because we also love to talk to you guys.
Yes. And we really appreciate the support so that we can stay away from commercials as long as possible.
Right.
Other than this one.
Yes.
So
which is just more
to...
of us. So it's like just added content, really.
Exactly. Patreon.com, Ghoul Intentions. There are several different tiers to choose from. We're going to consolidate those soon. I say out loud so that I will do it. our chats are going to be on the 10th of October.
10th of October.
10th of October at 12 noon Central Standard Time.
Yes.
And that is for every member of the Discord. And for our Phantasm tier is on Saturday the 17th at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We will be having those chats with our Discord members. We've also revised the Discord a little bit. So
yeah,
it's really running smoothly. Our admins are amazing on there.
They're so fucking great,
thank you
guys.
To them.
Oh my God, you admins are like the lifeblood.
Yes. Thank you, admins. Thank you, patrons. Thank you, listeners. We appreciate all of you. And enjoy the rest.
Bye.
This is from Sarah. Hey, guys. Just want to thank you for reading my last story, the one about the evil spirit in my sister's closet. As Michael was reading my submission, it took me a moment to realize, holy shit, that's my story. Now, I hope, Sarah, you're at like, holy shit, that's my story, too. I love you guys so much, and I felt very honored to have my submission read on the podcast. I decided I'm just sending in submissions as I remember them. While listening to episode 88, where Jamie is talking about the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, I recalled this story. It wasn't anything I was personally involved in, but I was in choir with the people who were involved, and a lot of new rules got put into place because of it.
Oh.
So, on to the story. My sophomore or junior year of high school, we were told the fall play that year was The Crucible. It seemed odd to me, as I went to a Catholic school, and even just talking about the occult got you some stern looks from the older teachers who told you just to change the subject, because they said so. I decided against being part of the crew. One, because mere mention of anything occult scared the shit out of me back then. And I love that it's the crucible and they're like, it's the occult. That's such like a super religious way to look at it.
It really is. And it's funny. But it makes perfect sense for Catholics to put it on because it's really, it lends itself very easily to a reading as it's kind of a polemic against Protestantism.
Yeah, right.
So the Catholics are like, no, it's a great play, you guys.
It's really good. I played Mary Warren in college in the Grisimal.
Nice.
I twisted my ankle when John Proctor pushed me down too. John Proctor.
That son of a bitch. Anyway. I hope he dies at the end.
So not going to be the crew because mention of the occult scared the shit out of me. Number two, because a stuck-up guy from my class was going to be in the show. We had some bad blood between us because he thought he was God's gift to Earth, and I called him out on his bullshit, and he thought because he was an actor that he was more superior to the techies who built the sets or who worked on lights or sound. So rather than working in a hostile work environment, I noped out and said I'd be back for the spring musical. That is such a great description.
I am triggered. Like, I am flashing back to my days in high school drama. Oh, Jesus. There was always that one guy that was like, no, guys, but I mean, let's be real. I'm the one that's going to win the best actor at UIL, not you. So just stop trying so hard.
Just like, stop trying.
Fuck you, Daniel. Yeah,
or
fuck
I did
you.
Props for Hello, Dolly, I believe my sophomore year.
Uh-huh.
And I remember somebody was pretty rude. And then it was like, gosh, I don't know where your prop is. And then they weren't rude anymore. It was really funny.
Weird.
I'm so dumb. I'm such a stupid prop girl. Why would I know? But anyway.
I love that.
Flashbacks. Okay, so most of the setup and rehearsals go well, and about 3 weeks out from Hell Week or Tech Week, some of the cast did something really fucking stupid. What do you think they did, Michael?
I'm going to say they Ouija board. They try to talk with the theater ghosts with a Ouija board.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's like I have what you're reading in front of me.
Yeah. They brought a Ouija board onto the stage and tried to talk to ghosts.
You fools!
They started... Yeah, whoopsies. Should not have done that. They started out with good intentions. One of the girls had a parent pass away a few months before the show was announced, but the session went downhill real quick. A few minutes in, one of the people there turned off the ghost light on the stage by unplugging it. They went on, and one of the guys asked, "Are there any of the witches from the trials here?" When no answer came, he asked, "Are there any demons here that are happy we're doing this play?" I'm sure he said it just like that. At that point, the planchette began moving down the numbers. 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. One of the girls got scared and went to plug the ghost light back in when the bulb popped and exploded. The planchette began spelling out, ha, 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 and that's when they ended the session.
Those aren't demons. Those are just dead actors fucking with you.
Yep. Yeah, we just go in.
They're like, ha, got you. Put the fucking Ouija board away, guys. You're stealing focus.
Yeah, I like to think that maybe it was, you know, because it was Catholic school, so maybe a priest or something like that hanging out, being like, this is really going to get them. It's going to be hilarious.
This is going to teach them a lesson.
Meanwhile, some of the other cast members went to a reported native burial ground that had been drug out under a bridge. They sat and started their own Ouija board session. The board didn't have any reaction to their presence, but they said they could hear drums and had a cold draft sweep over them. Mm. None of them will talk about it now. We only know what happened there because of the investigation that happened afterwards.
Uh-oh.
That night, three of the girls, who were playing women accused of witchcraft, had the same dream on the same night. Remember that stuck-up guy from before? They all had a dream that he was driving home and he was killed in a car crash.
Oh.
It varied what caused the crash, but this kid was always dead by the end of their dreams. Turns out, he's the one that turned off the ghost light and antagonized the spirits during the Ouija board session.
Uh-oh.
No one in the show let him drive until the show was over. Someone always picked him up for school and drove him home. It's not because they cared. They just
I love it. They're like,
that.
You cannot, we do not have an understudy, motherfucker. You must survive long
so
enough.
You're going to survive this. That is the real theater.
Fucking make it to closing night, you son of a bitch.
Another girl who even to this day is a cinnamon roll, which I love that description, is a cinnamon roll
cinnamon
and had
roll.
No involvement in any of the activity so far, was practicing her blocking and lines with a friend until they had to leave for practice. Once her friend left, she stayed for another 30-45 minutes until she was positive her lines were down. She set out the ghost light, went up to the booth to turn off the overhead lights, and then remembered her backpack was in the dressing room. After grabbing her stuff, she went out through the side entrance backstage. That hallway at the time was lined with old lockers that had props and hung up costumes. She said as she walked by, she heard what sounded like knocking coming out of one. She paused, and then the knocking turned to sound like nails of claws grinding against the metal locker, as if a creature was trying to scratch its way out. She then bolted, and the sound followed her. As she stood in the school hallway outside the theater, she could swear she heard laughing and chattering. She got mad, thinking some of her fellow cast members would play such a mean joke on her. Angrily, she flung the door open to confront whoever it was, and no one was there. Scared, she told some people about it at rehearsal, and the people who had conducted the Ouija board session felt responsible for what happened to her. That day, more than half the cast set up an appointment with the administration to admit what they had done.
God, that's creepy.
The only thing we're going to have to tell on ourselves, this is out of control. The administration won't tell us what happened, but my mom told me they sent a letter to all the parents at the school letting them know the situation and to keep an eye on us kids in case anything attached to one of us, and that they had called in 3 priests to do an exorcism and blessing on the theater. To this day, they have 2 paintings, one of Jesus and the other of Mary, and 2 crucifixes with blessed holy medals in them. Thank you for taking the time to read my spooky story, and I hope you 2 have a great day. P.S. I thought I'd let you guys know that as I'm listening to the podcast, I've been hearing things. One morning as I was listening, I heard some whistling. After rewinding it to see if it was on your end, which is smart because it probably is. 9 times out of 10, it's some weird shit going on over here. But after rewinding it, I didn't hear it, but the whistling noise happened again. Could it be from you guys? Or is it because my house is almost 100 years old, built in 1926? Who knows? I'm pretty sure it's you on this one.
I mean, it could be just peanut butter and chocolate. 2 great tastes that taste great together. It could be that we've all 3 of those elements have come together to create a haunt for you.
Little column A, little column B.
I want to talk about the lengths the school went to inform the parents and keep everyone safe. And I'm just man, if only American public schools had this reaction to COVID.
Yeah.
that some seem to have to demons. It'd be just a different world we live in, wouldn't it?
For a play. That isn't about actual witchcraft.
No, it's not. It's about people that make bad decisions because they believe in witchcraft.
Yeah, and people that make bad decisions and then blame it on witchcraft. But there's not any actual witchcraft.
Man, I'm not trying to make a blanket statement here, but I just feel like sometimes religious institutions are just lacking in a sense of irony. They just don't see it.
My favorite thing of the story, though, is that it was the crucible of all things.
Right.
And it was like, you weren't doing like a theatrical production of The Craft instead? Because
yeah,
that
it's
seems
funny.
More,
it's like if you're doing The Crucible and you're worried about occult things, it's kind of like doing, I don't know, it's like doing Waiting for Godot and worried about splinters. That's a theater joke.
It's not about getting splinters.
It's not about splinters. You don't have to sit on the bench. The bench doesn't have to be wood. It's not. It's just what? I think it's so funny. It's sometimes this Catholic school to me, and God love them. I don't mean to pick on Catholic schools. My brother is a devout, and sister-in-law, and their family is devout Catholic, and they're some of the coolest fucking people I know. But man, I feel like this Catholic school it's like that person when you make a joke online, and they feel to come in and like. They feel like you missed the joke, and so they're gonna say it better or more obvious. And I'm like, thanks. That was the joke. We've all experienced that, guys. Okay, sorry. So the next, I may be a little salty about that. The next,
I will say that I know a few priests, and they're all fucking badass people. Like I really.
That's true.
Them,
I do too. So, and they're really they've seen some things.
Yeah.
They're fun to talk to you about the occult too, because they have such a unique perspective on it. And it's really kind of cool. But it's just so funny that that play of all plays is seen as like, that might be inviting occult activity. It's really not about that. I don't think there's not a real witch in the whole fucking show.
No.
Anyway, so
poor Tituba.
Oh,
anyway.
Right. Oh. All right. This next one comes from Sheila. Hello, Jamie and Michael. Hello, Sheila.
Hello.
Happy October. October may just be my favorite month. I love listening to this podcast after a long day. I've been listening since the beginning and was recently able to become a phantasm. Oh, thank you. I decided to write another of my spoopy stories for y'all. You all.
You were right the first time. It's Y apostrophe A-L-L.
Yeah, yeah. It's you all. Yes. But hey, but good, good. Thank you for giving us the options. That's just good writing.
Yeah.
Spelling is hard sometimes. Clearly not. Not for you. Anyway, this story happened a few years after I saw the unfortunate man who had lost his leg in my kitchen. Oh, yeah. It is actually a dream I had the night before I gave birth to my oldest child. I was living with my sister and nephew in Indiana. One important note is that we did not have a phone at this time, and this was still in 1998 before everyone carried a cell phone around. Oh, I remember the time well.
I remember.
I dreamed of a farmhouse that I had never seen before, but yet felt familiar. There was a couple that had had a lot of children running around. However, I was drawn to a bedroom where a little blonde girl lay. I could tell she was dying. I went into the room and she got up from the bed and patted my very pregnant tummy. She then said the strangest thing. She told me I would be alone for some time, but everything would be okay. She then said she never knew John in life, but knows him in heaven. Oh, cryptic. Okay. I was then woken up by my sister telling me she had to go pick up my nephew from preschool because he had gotten sick. She had been gone about an hour when I went into labor. This was around 11 a.m., and the neighbor, who knew, was at work. I was alone in labor for about 3 hours before another neighbor came home. She drove me to the hospital, where I delivered my oldest son at 8:23 that night. Ooh, goodness, can you imagine being in labor alone in a house without a phone for 3 hours? Oh, my God. In all the panic, I forgot the dream until I was back in NC at my house. At my mom's house, going through some very old family pictures, I saw a picture of the woman who was at the farm and remembered the weird dream. I asked my mom who that lady was. That was her grandma, her dad's mother. My grandpa, John, was the youngest of 14 children. Many of his siblings died young, including his sister, Addie Mae. She had suddenly become very ill and eventually died a few months before my grandfather was born. She was a tiny blonde-haired girl. Perhaps it was just a weird pregnancy dream, but I honestly think the spirit of my great aunt came to me in my sleep. That is the story. It isn't scary exactly, but it is strange. I suppose it still counts as paranormal. I mean, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
That is the kind of dream
that is a
we're
paranormal dream.
For.
Yes, when there is outward confirmation.
Yes. The grandfather's name, John, that's great, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be alone for a little bit, but you're going to be okay. The look-alike, the pictures. I mean, it's all there.
Right.
I love it. It's great.
Good.
That's a
good.
Great story.
That's how you submit dreams to this podcast,
that's
everyone.
Right.
Take notes. Take notes.
Yeah.
Take notes.
Yeah, not. I had a dream that I was filling with air and I woke up and was farting. That's not going to count. It's funny, but it's not going to.
Yeah, it's like if I'm eating an enchilada, it's not precog if I go, I feel like I'm going to fart later. That's just a knowledge of what my body does.
Right. It's recognition of the reality. Okay,
it's
thank
not
you
precognition.
So much for that story. Really
it's
great,
recognition.
Really good.
All right. Yes, thank you. Thank you. All right. Jamie.
Next, we have Aqua.
Aqua.
First,
I love that name.
Please forgive formatting and typos. I am on my phone. Okay, sure. Many months ago, I sent a story about having my poncho wrap pulled and my fairy lights at work turning on without the batteries.
Mm.
Some other mildly spooky things happened, but really, we just got used to it. Well, in March, my forward-thinking company sent everyone home with equipment, and I have been working at home ever since. That's lovely. Very nice.
Good.
Same thing with Jack.
Good, good, good.
Fantastic. Other than the obvious things that we're all going through, because 2020 is apocalyptic, things have been very low-key. The occasional questionable shadow, but nothing goosebump-inducing. Mm. Until about a month ago. I had a paper bag opened and lying on its side on the floor to entertain my cats. Yes, of course. I was on the phone with a client and heard the bag rustle and glanced behind me and it was upright. I got off the phone and turned to watch whichever goofy fucking cat that was in it scare themselves when they jumped out. They do it all the time. It's pretty funny. Nothing happened. The girl kitty, Katie, walks into the room after a moment and sniffs the bag. Rustle, rustle went the bag and Katie took off in the other room. I started laughing and congratulated the boy kitty, Escher, on a well-played move. I got up to grab him, bag and all, to give him scritches. That is when I saw him lying on the back of the couch, looking at me.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, shit. Maybe it's a mouse. What the fuck do I do? The cats are clearly useless. I practically tiptoe to the bag to peek in, and nothing. Fucking nothing. I grab the bag, run to the guest bedroom, and say loudly, "Ha-ha, you got me. Going back to work now so you can stop. Thanks." Since then, I have seen two different shadowy things. One is white, looks a bit like the top half of an adult. I call this one Jenny Hobgoblin. The other is black, like an absence of light that is stupidly dark.
Oh.
The size of a cat and thin and wispy. I call this one Peggy Hobgoblin. Neither are very aggressive or scary and most leave me alone. Even the cats don't seem to mind them. But the trick with the bag, yeah, that got me. Almost had a heart attack. That is so creepy.
Oh, God, yeah, it is. That's, yeah. Oh, that's the kind of shit I would do as a ghost, though. That's the kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like stuff that I could blame. Stuff that I could blame on the cats.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if it's Jenny or Peggy. I bet it's Peggy. Peggy seems cat-like. So.
I love the name Jenny and Peggy Hobgoblin. It's a great, those are characters I want to play.
But I want it to be like, this is Jenny and Peggy Hobgoblin. No relation.
No relation. No relation.
They just have the same last name.
Yeah, Peggy's in HR and Jenny's like a mechanic.
Right? It's perfect. Thank you for that story.
Of the Wisconsin Hobgoblins? No. We're from Idaho.
Oh, thank you guys.
Thank
you
so much.
October.
Yes. It's starting strong.
Yeah. Keep sending in your stories. Thank you so much for all of them. We are constantly delighted.
Yes.
And I guess ghoulintentions.com, that's where you go submit your stories.
Yes.
Patreon, Ghoul Intentions. And stay safe.
Stay sane.
And remember,
It's okay to sleep with the lights on.